right, welcome to our second week in this series on Worship Holy Roar. We're going to start with a short video, so check this out. Is that not beautiful? That is beautiful music. 381 million hits on YouTube. That's not even a Christian song, actually. Maybe you didn't know that. But some of the lyrics in the rest of that song are kind of intriguing. But that is some beautiful music. Music is the language of worship. Whether it's coming from an a cappella group like Pentatonix or a church choir, a rock band or a praise band, we use music to express what and who we worship. It's not always God that is worshiped. But welcome to week two of this seven-week series called Holy Roar. We want to worship Christ. We're going to worship God this Christmas season, right? I mean, you have come to a church where we follow Jesus. And so hallelujah, if you don't know what that word means yet, you're going to have a deeper understanding of that word today. Last week, our first Hebrew word for praise, we're going through the seven Hebrew words for praise, right? The first word was, anybody remember? Yada, nice, good job. Yada, which means to revere or worship with extended hands. Yes, awesome. To hold out the hands to throw a stone or an arrow, this is yada. It's an expression of praise that uses the hands. And I think that was kind of a challenging word for us to start with, considering that probably two-thirds of us don't actually do that. We don't use our hands in worship, right? I mean, that's not a slam on anybody at all. That's just our culture and who we are. And yet, this is something God wants from us. This is something God wants from us. It's part of giving him the praise he fully deserves. So in this series, we're kind of trying to push back the social inhibitions and really worship God fully, giving him what he really deserves. So no more subdued worship, right? And there are lots of different ways we can express worship to God. It's not always jumping up and down and raising our hand. There are lots of ways to do it, but we do want to do that. That's something that God wants from us. Now, I know what it feels like to raise your hands to God when you're kind of like really nervous about it or afraid of what other people might be saying or thinking or looking at you. So I want to make a suggestion before we move on to the next word. I have a suggestion for you. If you're self-conscious about raising your hands in public, just give me some honesty time. Like, just raise your hand if you're a little bit nervous about doing that. There are many of you who raise your hands, and some of you are too nervous to even raise your hand for that, right? I get it. So if you're a bit uneasy about that, and that feels awkward in a place like this, let me just make a suggestion. Practice this stuff in private first. Like, if you got some worship music you really like, put it in while you're driving to work. And just when nobody else is watching, you can look, are there any cars around? Is anybody I don't know going to see when I, just do it in private. One hand. Now, I drive with my, we got teenagers here. So, okay. So if you're the passenger, if you're, I'm just digging a hole. I'm digging. Okay, so you find a private place to worship where no one's around and you're not driving. try do it. Just experiment with this on your own, whether it's raising your hands in thanks to God or in confession to God or praise or whatever it is. Try it. Try it on your own and then maybe step out into, okay, there's other people around. I'm still going to give it to you, God, even though there's people in the back who are going to watch me. Like, just try. I kind of grew in this privately first. I remember even back in high school, college, on my way to work, I used to listen to some classic Petra, right? And there was a song I really loved called Take Me In. Right? Take me past the outer courts into the holy place. It's talking about the Old Testament and the temple system. And I want to go past the outer courts into the holy place, past the brazen altar. I long to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. And I'm driving, I'm singing, take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the coal, touch my lips, here I am. And I remember that the roof of my Plymouth Horizon was just not high enough. You want to worship God fully? Do it in private first, and then take another step. Take another step. But our expression of worship not only reflects the posture of our heart toward God, but it also affects the posture of our heart toward God. And worship is not about what I'm comfortable with. It's about what God deserves. So we want to push past those comforts beyond into what he really deserves. Okay, second Hebrew word for praise. The word is halal. Halal. You can say that one. That was not too hard. Halal. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Halal. The word means to shine, to boast, to praise, to celebrate, to make a fool of, to be clamorously foolish. So this word is about setting aside your personal inhibitions and giving God everything you've got. You're going all out for God in your worship. You're not caring about what other people are thinking. You are shining. You are boasting. You are praising. You don't worry about what other people think. Think about the way you act when you're with the people that you care about the most. It might be your family. It might not be your family. It might be a couple of really close friends. But just when the way you act when you're with those people, you don't have to put up a front because you know they accept you as you are. That's when the full belly laugh comes out, right? That's when you're the most animated, and maybe you're not super animated, but you're more animated there. That's when you can be the real you. Halal is praise without the protective walls. How can we get the walls down and give God unguarded worship? That's what halal is about. Halal is the kind of praise found in times of celebration. It's like a wedding reception, right? So there's this high-spirited dancing at a wedding reception, celebrating the union of two people you love. Halal is a party word. Now you think about that for a second. Halal is a party word, and yet this is the second most often word used for praise in the Bible. It's a party word. When you think about worship, you think about party? God does. The Jewish people knew how to party. They knew how to party. Major Jewish holidays, the people would halal with all their might. Their celebrations were worship parties that involved a lot of food and lasted for days. They knew how to do it. David. We learned a lot about halal from David. When David was rescued from his enemies, the relief that he felt, he's relieved, he's freed from this, he halaled God for his deliverance. When God's people returned to Israel, they'd been taken away. They'd been in captivity as slaves for like 70 years. They came back to their homeland. They're rebuilding the temple where they can worship. And when the foundation was completed, the worship leaders got together. They put on their fancy robes. They got out their cymbals, and everyone hallowed with a song and a shout that was so loud, Ezra the priest recorded, the sound was heard a long way off. Ezra chapter 3. It's loud. You're going to find halal all over the place in the Psalms, especially. Psalm 18:3, I call to the Lord who's worthy of halal, who's worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. Psalm 22, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will halal you. So when I'm with a bunch of people, I'm going to do it. When I'm alone, I'm going to do it. I'm going to praise you. Right after he says this, I'm going to halal you, he turns it to everyone else. He says, you who fear the Lord, halal him. Praise him. Unguarded worship. This word is joyful. This is happy. It's high energy. Like the song we just sang, my feet are on the rock. I'm going to, even when the darkness is closing in around me, I'm going to praise you. Because you are good. Now, halal is not for all the time. We're not always in this jump up and down and clap for joy. You're not always in that spirit. There are times when we're discouraged, when we're really down, really have depression maybe, and we just don't have a whole lot of halal in us. Like that's real. And David was not in a constant state of halal. But when we are in those places, we can ask God to take us to that place where we can halal again, where we can do that, honestly. Most of us need a little more halal in our lives. This kind of worship, it is for God. He is worthy, but it's also for us. It's for our own hearts, too. I came across a video clip that one of my daughters is excited to watch here. The definition of halal reminds me a little bit of the word hilarious. Okay, this is like unguarded emoting. So take a look at this video clip. You have no idea what's coming. I love the laughter. Not many videos can you watch over and over again. You see it once, you see the funny part, but you need to actually watch this one again. This is one that just gets funnier. I have not watched that video and not laughed. Like, my stomach hurts when I watch that video. It's those two guys who are on the ground, right? Do you think they're stressed about work right now? Do you think they're worried about some kind of drama in their life? They are all, like, everything is wrapped around that one event. They are consumed by it. Hopefully it wasn't a cold day for that guy. I honestly could not find a direct connection between the origins of the word halal and the word hilarious, but I really think there's some parallels to those two ideas. I mean, I love laughter. Laughter is such a good thing. And when one of my favorite things to do, he's sitting in the back, when I can get my dad laughing so hard, you see pain in his face. You see this mix. I can do it to Sarah too. Like, you see this blend of pain and this raw joy, right? Sarah's feeling a little bit of it right now. I'm sorry, Sarah. But man, I love that. Could it be that this halal praise is intended to be a little bit like that? Where we are so caught up in the moment, so overwhelmed with love for God, joy in Jesus, relief in our acceptance. We've been forgiven by the God of the universe in awe of his greatness. Everything around us just kind of disappears for a few moments. I think that's what we're talking about. We don't have to wait for heaven to get there. We can halal today. I want to show you a couple of Psalms. The very end of the book of Psalms is filled with halal. The very last Psalm, 150. The word halal, it's only 6 verses long, and halal is used 13 times. Like, halal makes up almost the entire psalm. It's like praise, 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 praise. So I just want you to see this. This is, I forget if it's David. I forget who the author is. But here it is. Every time the word praise is used, it's the word halal. So halal the Lord. Halal God in his sanctuary. Halal him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and the flute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Halal the Lord. Somebody thinks God deserves some serious praise. Psalm 149, one psalm back. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. Halal his name with dancing. Make music to him with tambourine and harp. I need to show you what he had, the very next line of that psalm. I should have put it up on the screen, but you need to. So they're doing all this, right? Dancing, make music with tambourine and harp. Why? For the Lord takes delight in his people. Isn't that so good? The Lord takes delight in his people. So we praise him with dancing, music, tambourines, great gladness. This is halal. The energy behind this Hebrew word is the kind of energy you see at a typical concert, right? Or a major sporting event. This is the energy. And halal praise can be given to anyone or anything. It's not always directed towards God, but the one most worthy of halal is the one who designed the galaxies. And the same one who stepped into our world to save us from our own self-destruction. He's worthy of halal praise. I'm going to go backwards one more psalm. You might want to spend some time in these three psalms this week, 148, 149, 150. But Psalm 148, I want you to look for something in this psalm. This one, there's 12 halals in this psalm. And what I want you to watch for is who is called to give praise to God? Who is called to halal God? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, you tree, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, that's a word of strength. The praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart, halal the Lord. So who's praising? Who's halaling in that psalm? Give me some feedback. What did you see? Who's halaling? all creation, the sun, the stars. Who else is halaling? Angels. Angels in the heavenly hosts. Who else? Old men. Stand up. No, just kidding. Old men. Did I hear oceans? Oceans. Who else? Babies, children, sea creatures, Loch Ness, snow. And did it say hail? Snow and hail. Halal the Lord. Man, wow. And I think when he talks about the kings and those in power and the children, the old men, the weak, the less important, like it's all encompassing. There's nobody above God. Okay, so also in this praise, why does all this praise go to God? I think that's up on the screen. His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. How do you get something above the heavens? His splendor is above the heavens. There is no one greater than Yahweh, our God. Not only is he greater than all others, but is in his incredible greatness, his incomparable greatness, he's brought us close to his heart. You see that? People close to his heart. That is halal worthy. Right? That is halal worthy. That is reason to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to actually show you the first part of Psalm 148 in the Hebrew. I took some Hebrew. I know it just enough to like muddle my way through. I'm not a Hebrew scholar at all. But I want you to hear this because the proper name for God is Yahweh, right, in the Old Testament. Sometimes they would abbreviate it Yah. So listen to this. Psalm 148, the first verse. Here it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah Yahweh Meth Hashemayim. You got that? You got the whole thing? Hallelujah. Those are two words. We've turned it into one, haven't we? Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. Yahweh. Praise to Yahweh. Main Hashemayim. In the heavens. This is where we get the word hallelujah. 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 Praise Yahweh. Halal and Yahweh is where we get the word hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. And this word has been adopted by just about every language on earth. You can look it up. Wherever you go, hallelujah sounds about the same. And they're saying praise Yahweh. So next time you see the word hallelujah, next time you hear that, and next time you say it, if you're excited about something, you say, hallelujah! You just said, praise Yahweh. And now you know what kind of praise we're talking about. We're talking about halal praise, dancing kind of praise, energy kind of praise. It's uninhibited, energized worship. Now, Pentatonix sang that song. I'm not convinced they know the full richness of what it means to say hallelujah when they sing it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people who have no idea what they're saying when they use this word. But if the mountains, the rocks and the trees halal God, if the snow and the clouds and the hail praise him, and if the cows and the crows halal God, then whether they intended to or not, whenever they sing this song, there's an opportunity to bring praise to God, even though they don't even know what they're saying necessarily. Because God has given them incredible voices, and sometimes they sing songs that can even help us to worship. Because as I listen to that song and Some of the lyrics don't make sense to me, but you get to the end and they're just singing hallelujah. When I listen to that, my heart is stirred to praise God too. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So how about you? Knowing what you know now of halal, can you remember a time when you praised God with halal? Can you remember? Yeah? Alabama at a Southern Baptist church, and he remembers the time. Our praise is usually a lot more reserved than what we're seeing in halal, right? I mean, isn't it, honestly? But maybe you have. Maybe you can remember something, or maybe you can't remember, but it happened. Maybe God answered a big prayer for you, or he showed himself in a big way, and you were excited. Praise God. I don't halal very often. I don't. I can think ahead, and I'm planning to halal when I get to sing along with David Crowder in 10th Avenue North at Creation Music Festival in June. I bet you, gathering together with thousands of other voices, pouring our hearts out to God, there's going to be some serious halal going on. I'm planning to join that. Hallelujah. That's going to be a little piece of heaven. But we don't have to wait for a massive concert to halal Yahweh. We have to wait for that. We have all the same reasons to praise him right now. And we do halal lesser things. We do. We know how to halal already, right? I was watching the highlights of Monday night's game, right? I didn't watch the whole game, but I saw the highlights of the Eagles game, and then they won, right? They won. I heard some serious halal going on in that stadium, listening to the highlights, especially after a touchdown or an interception. I was just listening for the volume, and it's just, whoa, it rose. When there's an interception, buddy, it's loud. There's halal going on. We know how to halal. When Dean's daughter throws 9 pitches and the inning's over, I bet you there's some halal going on, right? Or maybe you're in some serious financial trouble and the bank tells you, you know what? We're not going to foreclose on you after all. Is there going to be some halal when we get to keep the house? Hallelujah! Yeah, we know how to halal. What we need to develop is giving our halal to God, to the one who's most worthy of it. His splendor's above the earth and the heavens. And he loves me. And he loves you. Think about it. Think about what God did in sending Jesus. God gave my death sentence to Jesus. And he gave me Jesus' inheritance. He gave my death sentence to Jesus. And he gave me Jesus' inheritance. That's reason to halal, if there ever was one. That is a far bigger deal than an overpaid athlete getting a slab of pigskin across through some sweat-soaked dudes and across this painted line on the AstroTurf. This is bigger. Amen? It's a bigger deal than the student who works so hard on that project. They look up their grades. They got 100%. This is bigger, right? This is bigger than if you checked your bank statement tomorrow morning and someone dropped $100,000 in your account. This is bigger than that. God is worthy of your halal. Go ahead and enjoy the football. That's okay. Those other things we get excited about, nothing wrong with that. I don't think we need to reduce our halal over that. We need to boost our halal for God. C.S. Lewis said this: "The most valuable thing the Psalms do for me is to express the same delight in God which made David dance." David got it. He was connected to God, and he halaled God a lot. This was a normal thing for him. made David dance. Do you ever feel like dancing just because God is so great and he loves you so much? Let's dance over that. Let's get it on. That's something to get excited about. So David's our best example, I think, of a guy who got halal right. There's a scene in the Old Testament, book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6, where David gives this halal praise to God in a way that actually kind of creates a stir. Like there's kind of a problem. He ticks off his wife. But it pleases God because David is putting God first over all other things, even his wife's approval. Before I go into that story, I just want to say to the men, like, the application of this is not to tick off your wife and think that you're more godly, okay? That's not where we're going. But here's what happened. So it's shortly after David had become king of Israel. And one of the first moves for David as king was to conquer Jerusalem and make it Israel's new capital city. They didn't have Jerusalem yet, and it was strategic, and for whatever reason, God wanted him to go there, take Jerusalem, so he does. He takes Jerusalem. One of his next moves after that was to relocate the Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God, into the capital city, the new capital, Jerusalem, because worship was that important to David. David loved God above all else. You can read about it, 2 Samuel chapter 6. There was actually some drama involved in the earlier part of this scene of what happened. One guy died. But here's the part I want you to see. The priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. Okay? And 2 Samuel 6, verse 13 says this. When those who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he, David, sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. They have this sacrifice. Because they're making progress. They're getting there. And David is excited. David is excited. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the Ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, who happens to also be wife of David, watched from a window. Now, why isn't she out there? That's one of my questions. Well, when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord, set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings, the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. He is excited. He's just being generous now. I want to bless you guys, everybody. So the next thing he gave everyone, he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. So they finished this, they head back home. Then David returned home to bless his household. Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She's not smiling. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. You've made a fool of yourself and a fool of me. Should be ashamed of yourself, David. Who is right, David or Michal? We can let God be the judge of that. Here's the very next verse. David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I'll become even more undignified than this, and I'll be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. I'm going to halal, whether you like it or not." And here's the end of the chapter. Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. That's not just a random piece of information. That's the judgment of God. God is pleased with David, and he's displeased with Michal. And you read the next chapter, chapter 7, and you see even more convincing proof. God, in chapter 7, gives David this promise that we now know as the Davidic covenant. The Davidic promise that someone from David's line will always be on the throne forever. That's the very next chapter says this. God said to David, your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. 2 Samuel 7:16. It is not a coincidence that that chapter follows immediately after David's halal, where he unreservedly gives God everything he's got. God is pleased with that. And the next thing we see, God gives this incredible promise. Your throne will be established forever. Now, how's that promise going to be fulfilled? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, the son of Abraham. This is who's going to reign on that throne forever and ever. This is the fulfillment of that promise. David was a man who through this intimate relationship with God that had formed over decades of time and many deep, deep struggles, he had learned to cast aside his inhibitions and worship Yahweh fully. His self-consciousness is dead. He's willing to upset his wife. If he has to choose whether he's going to honor God or please his wife, he's made up his mind. David's going to give God all the halal he deserves, no matter what. So, guys, don't take this wrong way. Ladies, if you're married, this is not about irritating our spouses. Most of the time, loving and honoring your spouse is part of a life that best honors God, right? But there may be a situation where you have to choose. So an irritated wife is not a sign of true worship. That would be really unfortunate application and misunderstanding of this passage, but I think we really do have a lot to learn about worship from David's example. His unashamed halal pleased the Lord greatly. And most of us, including myself for sure, have not gotten to the place where we're ready to halal the Lord like David. We're not there. So the question is, do you want to get there? Do you want to move towards that? Do you want to get closer to that? Really? Do you? Will you allow God to help you overcome your self-consciousness so you can give God the praise he fully deserves and not even worry about other people at all? Are you willing to allow God to move you and help you with that? For some of us, it's not a self-conscious thing at all. That's not the issue. For some of us, we're talking about worship here. And for all of us, there's a worship war raging in our hearts. We're worshiping something. It may not be about self-consciousness for you. It may be about worship. Because sometimes, even though God deserves our worship, sometimes our worship goes elsewhere. So if you look at that, if you think about your life, if God is number two to anything else in your life, he's not giving the praise getting the praise he fully deserves. So as you examine yourself, okay, like where am I at? If you can identify something that's more important to you than God, when you get real bone honest with God, if you can see something, I just challenge you to rethink what's most important. We're all worshipers, every one of us. Our hearts sing halal to something. And it's not always to God. So for your next step, consider who or what you worship most. And maybe it is social pressure that keeps you from giving God true halal. Ask him to help you overcome that so you can worship him fully. Maybe it's something else, something deeper. Maybe for some of you, all this stuff is new to you. Like worshiping God, okay, that just seems weird. But if you're listening thinking, you know, this is actually making some sense. This is making, giving God my halal, like that actually does make sense. If you're kind of feeling that and thinking that, you can give God your halal for the first time today. You can do that. And God has been clear with us. He made it clear that the way you get started with that, with giving God your halal, there has to be a transaction. There has to be a transaction between you and God of forgiveness. We have to come to that place where we recognize, I have failed God. I have not measured up and I need forgiveness. I can't measure up. I can't just try harder. I need grace. to recognize what Jesus did for me. His death on the cross was for me. He took my death sentence and I could have his inheritance. Man, oh man, I want that. You got to receive that. You got to confess your inadequacy to God, confess your failures and your sin, the way you've offended God. And you can think of ways, we all can. And then we got to put our trust. Jesus took that for me. And God, I'm going to trust you. And I want to follow you. And you can do that. Yeah, you can do that here today. You can do that anywhere you are. And it's really that simple. And it's really that significant. It changes our lives. And then we're in that place where we can allow. So take a minute to spend some time with God. Wherever you're at, am I giving to God the praise he fully deserves? And then we're going to spend some time halaling him. Pray with me. Lord, it is so good to be in your word and to be exposed to some of these ideas and realities of who you are and who we are. God, it's good to think about halal. Lord, what we find in your word, this is not just a textbook. This is not just an old dusty piece of literature. This word, this Bible is life. And we can experience life when we pour out our worship to you. So God, I just pray for every single person here. We're all at different places. But God, take us closer, closer to your heart. Overcome the obstacles, God. Give us a softness and a willingness to let you work in our hearts, that we may give you the praise you fully deserve and experience the blessing of that. In Jesus' name, amen.